Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast, creating pathways, connecting people to Christ, to others, to purpose.
Welcome to the Christway Connect podcast. We appreciate you joining us for this episode today as we look at Matthew chapter 13. We've been reading through the beginnings of the New Testament and walking through each one of these chapters. Jeremy Deli, good to have you guys here today.
Yes,
good to
be sir. Here.
My name is Andy, and we're happy to have you listening with us this morning. As I said, we've been taking five chapters a week, and whatever that third middle chapter is on Wednesday, we try to focus on that. So this week, we're looking at chapter 13, and just prior to turning on the recording, we were talking about the amount of material in chapter 13, right? Yeah. Which we can ramp off half hour off one verse anyway. So what are the kinds of things that are striking you in 13? First of all, I guess we look at one of the most well-known, could I say easily, well-known parables, the parable of the
soils.
Yeah. And my Bible says the parable of the sower,
yeah.
Which earlier this weekend I brought out that I just think that's an incorrect label. The seed is the word of God, and I don't think it's the issue of the sower. That's the person presenting, and then it's really about the condition of the soil.
And my friend always used to say, the uninspired heading, which gives us liberty to to modify as we want, right?
That's
the
funny.
Uninspired heading.
That's funny.
I think one of the things is this stands out to me is verse 10, the disciples came to him. Why do you speak to them in parables? Yeah. Why do you use so many big words?
Oh, that's funny.
You know, it's like it almost feels like I've been watching The Chosen along as we've been doing this great little video presentation of Jesus choosing the disciples and them starting to follow him.
So good.
So it's so good. You know, I was in
shout out.
I was in tears before I came watching I think it was episode 8 of season 1.
Oh yeah.
And it's just neat to see the disciples, and they're just like, hey, why don't we go this way? What do you mean we're going through Samaria? Jesus' line is, look, if you're going to question everything that is strange, that we do that's strange, it's going to be a really slow journey.
Is that what he says?
Yeah, it's something like that, you know.
That's funny.
And so these guys are like, oh, why do you speak to them in parables? And really, it's why do you speak to me in a parable? Why help me understand?
Yeah.
So
I've always found that interesting because Jesus' reply to that is, you know, the knowledge of the kingdom has been given to you. And yet I read it, and I'm like, but they didn't get it either.
Right.
Like, they didn't get it, and he had to explain.
Yeah.
I guess the humanization of that, just the humanizing of it all, where they're just like, we don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Honest, it seems honest.
Yeah, I think that it's really, I don't know, I was really thinking about that as well before this. Like, there were crowds of people, right, just around them all the time, and he's speaking to everybody in these parables, and I was just thinking, I'm like, there's probably just people just sitting. I mean, most of the time they're saying the crowds were amazed, these people were amazed, you know, and it's like they were amazed.
And confused,
you know, like, or maybe they're just there just because they're like, I want to be entertained today, you know, like, yeah. There were people that were actually there to seek this deep understanding, like, you know, like, and that's where I'm saying, like, where you're saying, like, they still didn't get it, but they were willing to push through that and try to be like, Jesus, what? I don't get this.
So
like, explain
ahead,
it to me.
In verse 36, it says he did quite a few parables, right? Mm-hmm. This whole chapter is parable after parable after parable. So he left the crowd, went into the house, which I also thought was cool, right? Jesus, who has no place to lay his head, just like zips into the house, whoever's house that was. Mm-hmm. His disciples came to him and then said, explain to us. And this is the parable of the weeds in the field, right?
Yeah.
But to sit down and talk through that. And I know as a disciple, I still do it, but certainly as a younger disciple, I would find those people and I'm like, unpack that for me. Talk to me about that. And frankly, to have the hunger, I think, the honesty and the humility. So alliteration, 3H words, right? There you go. That's now it's powerful, right? The hunger and the honesty and the humility to say, you know what? I don't know, but I want to know.
Yeah.
Which I hope is the core of what's going on this year as we read through the New Testament as well, right?
Right.
That
And yeah,
we're just prepping that, you know. And there's a lot of things I don't know, but I want
to
know.
The words that come to me are like having a spiritual sensitivity to it, you know, like having like understanding like what's going on inside of you and what God is trying to speak to you through it is like, okay, like I know that there's something there,
but recognizing that I actually need to have some context,
yeah,
to what's going on. It's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can be God just speaking, right? He needs nothing. Mm-hmm. But it's not often random speaking, right? Mm. There's this. It's in a context. I'm thinking of Tyler Spivey. Shout out to Tyler. A couple years ago, mm-hmm. I was teaching out of Hebrews, and I mentioned Melchizedek and a few other stories, and I was just piecing some things together. And Tyler approached me after that service, and he basically said, "Man, I didn't know anything you're talking about today. Like you pulled all these stories."
Days that I'm talking about. No,
okay, that's another podcast. That's a different episode. That's a clinical podcast. Yeah. So he comes up and he says, it was the coolest ask ever. He said, "Hey, I know some of the big stories, but I'd like to know the overarching themes and what's going on, how they connect." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Can we get together and go through the Bible? And can you help me connect those?" Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Number one, I am willing to, and yes, I can.
Yeah.
And we watch these, you guys know this personally, but for our listeners, we watch the Bible Project videos for each book every week, and we'll talk about them, and then we'll unpack them. Sometimes it's a couple of weeks, 3 weeks. We've been doing that for 2 years, walking through on Wednesday mornings, walking through, putting things in context. Now, here's what's awesome, and I hope this is encouragement for folks listening. As we move now through the prophets and the gospels, and now we're actually in Thessalonians, we're mm-hmm. about to finish it up. He's seeing all those things, and he'll like, oh, this is that.
Yeah, I see this dot connected.
Yeah, this is exile. Oh, that's the theme there, right? Yeah, and you see, and it's so rewarding to be a part of that, and it just takes the work, right? Mm-hmm. You just do the reps of getting into it, getting your feet wet, come back tomorrow, do the same thing.
I would say, I'm going to say even a contrast to that. Because how you were saying earlier that the secrets of the knowledge of the kingdom, you referred to verse 11 and verse 12 there, how the disciples, you know, they were speaking in parables. And then if you go down to 16, he's saying, you know, listening, you don't hear, and seeing and don't see. But then he goes, but, right, on verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people have longed to see it. Like they've been expecting it, right? Expecting this. And so they kind of do have the context in some way that like the Pharisees, but they're like, hold on, this is not the way that we expected it to come, because the way that we've been learning, like we've learned in all our years, that this is not the way it's supposed to be coming, right? And Jesus is like, no, actually I've come to bring it in a different light. And you're not seeing it. I've come to bring.
That's a great point.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Well, the point that we want it.
Yeah.
But it, and the way we, one thing that comes to my mind here and at Christway, we'll say we're not going to ask the Holy Spirit to be here and then tell him how to do that.
Yeah.
Right. So we're not going to have these expectations of what it's going to be. We're just going to be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And ask.
But there is something I don't know what it is in us that likes something familiar, and when it comes to us in a different presentation that makes us think about it. Sometimes that is super threatening.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just think about if you're the songs that you sang as a kid, and then you realized you weren't singing the right words. Or somebody sings the wrong words to that thing, that song that is so familiar to you, and then it's like, all of a sudden there's this great angst in you because it's not what you are used to.
Thought, yeah.
You know? So I think Jesus is doing that for some of these guys who is like, what? I know you have said, because I've heard it said, and now you're saying that, and there's this
great. That's the Sermon on the Mount.
Right, that's right, the Sermon on the Mount.
He goes, I know you've heard this said this way, but right. I'm saying. And one of the parts that hit me this year as we were reading through that, he doesn't say, it's written this way, but I say to you. No, he's saying, you've heard it interpreted this way.
Right.
I'm now interpreting it this way.
This is how you've heard it your whole life. And this Matthew 13 is a tough.
Yeah. I was just looking back
chapter
at it right now.
Okay, so it almost feels like he's getting some lines in there of who's in and who's out, and there's all this tension. You know, people's hearts have grown. Has my heart grown dull? You know, am I now offended? Am I the one with ear? And so I have trouble reading Matthew and not checking, you know, not really starting to feel convicted. And but maybe that's the point.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
so
that's what I was going
to
say.
That we have to be in that place. And I think that is so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That maybe I just, we're just going to skip Matthew chapter 13.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
I don't
happy, feel good
I
stuff?
Don't have time for that right now. Mm-hmm. You know, let me go bury my father. If you're wanting to follow Jesus, I got other things to do than to process all of this right now. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to know about the rocky soil and the stuff in my life that's in the way of fruitfulness. So that's, I got something to do, so I'll process that
later.
What's
cool about that passage, man, the soils, everything varies.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's
it's one of my favorite ones that I don't know.
I mean, I get the choking. I used to teach this a lot, and I would say, you know, if you have a mailbox, I'm dating myself here. If you have a mailbox and, you know, you get bills in the mail, that's the cares of life, right? Everybody has that, right? But this also talked about the deceitfulness of wealth. Mm-hmm. I had not heard that before. Mm-hmm. So as I'm reading through there, and I was listening to it one day, and it struck me, I got the whole cares of life part. But then the deceitfulness of wealth is the other end of that spectrum,
mm-hmm.
where I'm loaded, or I'm chasing. I guess I could be chasing money, but I could be
loaded with no worries. Yeah.
And I've heard this too. When you have a lot of money, you're worried about losing it. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. It's just this catch 22 thing in the whole mix.
Or worried about stewarding it well. If you're, you know, in the grown up in the, you know, I want to make sure I'm doing well with the money, and you can really become consumed with make sure I'm using everything correctly.
That's the gracious Jesus way, man. That's not my way. My way was I would get like a $2,000 or $1,500 or something would come in the mail or whatever, however it happened, you know, or maybe I'd go preach somewhere and it'd be this blessing out of nowhere, you know, and have this money. And then my transmission would go. I was so angry. I mean, for years and years and years. And it was a provision.
So you got the blessing before the need.
I got the blessing before the need, and I was so mad when I had to put that money toward what it was provided for, right? And I thought, I get that makes me shallow, and possibly I'll not be invited to next week's podcast. But that's where I was for sure. And I'm like, because then I, you know, I'm like, oh, now we can have fun and buy and whatever.
Yeah,
the deceitfulness of wealth. Mm-hmm. It hit me. So you've got that. You've got the things that choke out. You've got Satan that's constantly, they don't quite understand.
Yeah.
So he can come and pick that off, right? And then
No root. Yeah. It's just kind of.
That's the rock, right?
That's my fave, right? Because the rock is the stony ground, the block.
Mm-hmm.
And the stones for me are those grudges and resentments and bitterness and the hardening of my heart that doesn't allow the word to go deep.
Yeah.
And so what I've found for application on that is if you're a person that's trying to disciple, trying to be a follower, and you're a quick start, but by Thursday or Friday, you crash. Mm-hmm. And then you go back to church on Sunday and you're a quick start again, you know, and it's just this cyclic thing going on. Check the blocks, right?
Yeah.
That it springs up quickly and with joy you receive it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no depth of earth, one translation says, and it lacks moisture. There's no ability to get to the water. And so removing those stones is what then allows the seed to go, which I don't run from. I actually embrace that.
You ever pick stones out of a field?
Sure. Well, up in New England, all those beautiful little 2-3 foot high fences are field stones.
In Montana, we just put big piles of rocks in the middle of the field because we didn't have anything to do with them.
So I was teaching in Connecticut. This is Mercy 20 years ago, probably. I was teaching in Connecticut, and someone came up after, and I was teaching about this. And the lady said that she had an adjoining property with a friend, and they were going to put a garden in together. And they were so excited about it. And so rocky soil, Connecticut. Mm-hmm. So they dug all that up, and they had a little pile on the side. And she said, we had a wonderful garden. It was so good. And then the next year, they were so excited that they weren't going to have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And she said,
but it rained.
We had more rocks.
Yeah.
This was the amazing part. She said, and they just kept coming. year after year. And it was almost as if once you open the ground a little bit, right, it allows it to rise.
Yeah, it totally does.
Oh, man, what's the application there, right? Allows that stuff in us to rise as we deal with that top level and then the deeper layers and the deeper layers. She literally told me, she said, we have a pile that you can drive a car behind and discard a spear. So that's a powerful application.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing parable. And even the good ground, right? It's not like good ground's good ground.
Right.
It's 30, 60, 100-fold, the produce, right? And I remember this is one of the best lessons I have ever been taught. I was a church planner. I was in my mid-20s. And I was sitting with a new convert. I mean, green as grass, new. I mean, no church background. And we're sitting there talking. Amazing. She had an amazing conversion experience. And I'm teaching this, and all of a sudden she stops and she says, Do you think we're just one of those? Like, I'm either stony ground or good ground or, and I'm like, yes. I really did. I was under the paradigm that we're you know, once you're good ground, you're good ground.
Yeah.
But what, and God bless her, man, what she taught me in that moment was that there are parts of my life that are good ground and producing hundredfold. And then there are parts that are only producing 30. And then there are parts that are blocked. And that's all me. Mm-hmm. And there are days the cares of life get me.
Yep.
Right? It's not all or nothing here. Like, that's the awareness piece you were talking about earlier, where we're cultivating all of those things. And to not be afraid of it.
Yeah. And it's easy to be afraid of it because what kind of ground grows weeds? Weeds like good ground,
yeah,
too.
Good ground.
You know, so there's so much richness there of meaning. Of course, that's what we would expect from Jesus. But how do you process that for yourself? And weeds growing up, and now I'm making a path through my own garden because I've got things I have to do. And so, you know, I guess fortunately Jesus is our source of faith, and so he weeds rocks, you know, he's the gardener, and we just have to be aware of letting him do it, because it's like, wait, I like that rock right there. I have a rock garden, you know, I like it, it's pretty, it's where I want those things, and I position my home and my family and my hobbies and my those things are all good and pretty and useful, and the path is you know that nice garden path is useful, and so I struggle with that sometimes of what needs to be rearranged, and maybe I don't want to let Jesus poke at those things.
Maybe the question is, am I walking a path or have I made this a rut?
Right? Yeah. Oh, that's a good image, right? Yeah. Right.
Am I just circling my same little thing? Because what you alluded to earlier in the, what was it called, The Chosen, right? That thing where he's like, we go where the Spirit leads. Mm-hmm. Like, I must go to Samaria, Scripture tells us. Jesus said, I got to go to Samaria. Mm-hmm. And in the visualization of that episode, he's like, what do you think, I came here on accident?
Yeah.
It's just me and you. Like, I knew you'd be here. that you're the reason I'm here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what a realization when the Lord helps us see that, right? Like, we're the reason he's here. And when he prompts us, even though it feels a little bit uncomfortable, it's for our growth, which is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not just growing, but getting rid of the junk, right? We can add the good or remove the bad. There's a lot of good and bad parallels here.
That's why I was just thinking that right before this. I was thinking that, you know, we have the parable of the weeds. You have the parable of the net. You know, like both of those.
Oh, that caught my attention. Good fish, bad
fish.
Yeah,
good fish, bad fish.
Who's the bad fish?
Yeah,
and then right. They're
all caught. They're all caught, are they not? Like it says, caught all kinds of fish. Mm-hmm. All kinds. I mean, I'm sure there's good ones, bad ones, little ones, big ones, ones that are going to give, you know, be able to eat a whole day on, ones that you're like, I can barely get a sushi roll out of it, you know? Like all kinds of things in there. And, it's like it's going to be, at the end of age, and it has nothing to do with it. Like, they're going to be thrown out. It's not for us.
I think this is culturally challenging for our culture, like secular culture. And I think that is all about inclusion.
By challenging, you mean offensive.
Hey, well, yeah. Yeah, and even church culture.
Yeah, I was going to say both, for sure.
I wrote a note to myself. I was listening to this earlier, and I just typed something in my phone. I typed, good fish, period, bad fish. And then underneath, in all caps, I wrote separation. Mm-hmm. These are about some type of separation between, you know, like good column, bad column, good fish, bad fish, wheat and tare, you know. Not comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Not comfortable, right.
And then when you add this editorial of, and this is how it's going to be at the end of the age.
Yeah.
Right?
Angels come, separate the wicked from the righteous, throw them into the fiery furnace, weeping, gnashing of teeth. And then he's at verse 51. He's like, any questions? Everyone understood?
Yeah. You guys got this?
What?
What in the world? He says, have you understood all these things? I would have been, nope, you lost me at angels.
Yeah.
Right? Wow. The idea of separation is not a favored topic.
No. And even at the end of that, when he's talking about a owner of a house who brings out of a storeroom new treasures as well as old. You know, like that's in there too. Like even bringing both, like all these things, you like been doing all these good things, doing these kingdom mindsetted things. But some of these are old ways. Some of these are new ways. Some of these are good. Some of these are bad. They're a mixture.
He's talking about it being a teacher of the law
yeah.
who's been instructed about the kingdom of heaven. Mm-hmm. So if you're a teacher of the law, but you've been instructed about the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so that's key. Kingdom of heaven. You're a teacher of the law. You get it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a Pharisee, right? But if you're now instructed in the kingdom of heaven, it's a different path.
Right.
And Matthew, we reiterate, right? Matthew was Jesus, Messiah, King. Mm-hmm. So it's all about kingdom. And how many of these parables? The kingdom of heaven is. Yeah. The kingdom of heaven is.
Which is, Jesus has authority, right? He's, he's you know, Messiah,
ruleship.
King.
Yeah.
He's
kingship, ruleship. Yeah.
And there's something that we'd have to deal with there with Jesus has the authority to do this thing that we're looking at uncomfortable. We didn't really read the beginning of the parable of the weeds explained, where he talks about that just as weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so it will be at the end of the day age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fire furnace in the place where they'll be, again, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the heaven of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. And your ears start burning.
And you're like,
yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fortunately he has that, I think in here where it says, the gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin. That's refreshing, right? I mean, I know that the causes of sin in my life are not things that I try not to glorify in those things. I regret those things. Those things are frustration. And then there's the hope that I'll make all things new. And so this new world where sin, the consequences, the causes are all removed. And yeah, things shine in a way that they haven't shined.
When I read these, you know, righteous and wicked, okay. I think I'm on the righteous side. Shine like the sun, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, I think I'm on that. I think I'm on that squad, but the other squad has like weeping, gnashing of teeth, you know, furnace metaphor. I'm not super happy about that. Like, I'm not like, yeah, got yours,
you got yours, right?
No, it's not. That doesn't hit me well either, you know. So what do we do with that tension? Because Jesus said this earlier in this book. I didn't come to put you together. I came to bring a sword. He's got, you know, a daughter against a mother-in-law and father and son and all those, right? That's difficult stuff. And I know that if you're a Jew, at least I'm understanding it this way, that if you're Jewish and he shows up and he says, you know, here, eat my flesh and drink my blood, and they're like, what? I mean, that's, you know, throwing dirt in the air, blasphemy, right? Mm-hmm. No way. This stuff is kind of like that for us, I think.
Yeah.
It's that like, I'm not sure what you're doing here.
And probably not so much in the Jewish culture where they were oh, you are unclean, and we don't talk to them. And we have got clear distinctions and culture of we live in a culture that likes to blend it all together.
It's interesting how much tension we feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we actually, I mean, to me, it feels like we should feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is that part of the point for us to what do I say? Do business with this stuff, mm-hmm. right? Look at it and say, you know, where am I? And for me, it's never been about missing hell. I just think that's a poor motivator. Mm-hmm. But loving Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then this whole idea, again, of him being king through all those miracles, right? We had several chapters of just miracle after miracle after miracle. Now we have these chapters of parable after parable after parable, literally introducing each one with, well, the kingdom of heaven is like someone that finds a pearl or a treasure, yeah. mm-hmm. and they grab it and they hold on to it. And,
yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. they leave everything else behind to do that. Verse 51, Jesus says, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes. Yeah, I just read that, and I go like, then you must have forgot between now and, I don't know, a few weeks later when there's other conversations. Yeah, so I think this tension, I don't think it's something that we just move on. It's not like you completed the class, I got the grade, and now I'm done with that, and I don't have to revisit those topics again.
So here's what's funny to me. I was reading through 14 and 15. He feeds 5,000 in 14. It's the loaf and two mm-hmm. fishes, right? Does all that, and that's amazing. And just men, 5,000 men. So there mm-hmm. may have been 10,000, 15,000 people, and he feeds them all in 12 baskets, all that, right? So, and then in chapter 15, they're hungry. And Jesus says, these people are really hungry. And the disciples are like, where are we going to get enough food for these guys? And I'm like, just read 14. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like.
I don't know how close those time frames were. Right? Is that last week?
Just last Tuesday. Just last Tuesday, fellas. Well, I don't remember the gospel author, but in one of the gospels, he says, have you forgotten?
Have you forgotten? Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, don't you remember the loaves and the fishes, right? In these moments where, and that's a statement for all of us, right? The provisions that God gives. Once again, what struck me is he's king. Mm-hmm. He's king. He has the authority to say. He has the authority to save. He has the authority to say yes and no and in and out and righteous and wicked. And he also has the authority to provide. Mm-hmm. And not just the authority, but the heart mm-hmm. to provide. He was moved with compassion on both of those settings mm-hmm. or those people. And one of them, which again, as you read closely and just kind of hit these things hit me. I'm so happy they do. After years of reading these scriptures, mm-hmm. you know, John is killed, and John is executed, and Jesus goes into a solitary place. He's bummed out, he goes into a solitary place, and then while he's out there, this crowd comes to him, and I can see him being super tired,
like, come on,
bumming out, and then just turns and heals all kinds of people, mm-hmm. and then they're with him, and then he feeds them. That's king stuff.
Mm-hmm. When you guys are talking about this authority and this kingship. I'm thinking again throughout last week's and this week's upcoming or the rest of this week, thinking about how he's doing these miracles, and people are looking at expressing like the fact that he has this authority, this kingship, that is not a king. He even later says in Luke or something that it's not a kingship to rule this realm, this area, but this kingship that is. Surpass all. It's not a kingdom of this world, mm-hmm. right? And then so with these parables expressing the kingdom of God, expressing that it's a living reality right now. You know, like that's what I think is really cool is that you're sowing these seeds right now, and in the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, right? Your kingdom come, will be done as earth as it is in heaven, right? And so I'm just thinking of that in. Like that's the closest definition of what the kingdom of heaven is, because he doesn't explain like this is the kingdom of heaven, blah blah mm-hmm. blah. He's like it's like the kingdom of heaven, mm-hmm. and the kingdom of heaven is right now this living reality that I'm showing you I have the authority to do it right now. Like I'm showing you all these things. It's just it's so cool to me. I don't know.
Well, it's looking such a powerful place to say the kingdom of heaven is now.
Yeah,
he shows up. He's mm-hmm. like.
Yeah,
it's like it's not later.
These principles, these values, these new ways to see one another. And it, right? It did. The kingdom of heaven changed the world.
I feel like we're sitting here on little stools and Jesus just walked up and kicked a leg out, man. And boom, you're just on your rear end. Like that's what this feels like reading through this. When you begin to process it. I'm going to ask you to close us in prayer in a sec. But hey, as a listener, if you're feeling some tension about all this, welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Right. As we try to do business with what this means, and not just a cursory read, right? A read, I think, I have hardly any authority whatsoever to tell you what Jesus thinks, but it would seem to me that he would be pleased that we would pause and think and consider and pray and meditate upon, right, what this means. And I think if I have any pastoral advice or direction, not meditate on it for the world, not meditate on it for the culture at large, but meditate on it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And what that might mean, what his words might mean transcendent, you know, thousands mm-hmm. of years later, speaking into your heart. So thank you for joining us today. Jeremy, would you close us out?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Lord, we sometimes want to come together and before you, and we think it's for understanding and clarity and to have our questions answered. But I think it's just to be with you and to encounter you. So as we read and as I think about these things that cause tension in my own spirit and my own mind and regrets and hopes and confusion, Lord, I thank you for it being your kingdom and not my kingdom to understand. That you make a way, that you created and perfected the path. And we can trust it. So Lord, these things that are tension creating in my spirit, Lord, I pray that we would all see past that and see you calling us into your kingdom, including us in the journey of sorting out and know that there's hope because you are the way maker. Thank you for including us. Thank you for making a way where there wasn't a way, because these things are overwhelming. But so are you, and you have chosen us. You've chosen me. In all my mess and confusion, you choose us. And we're honored. We love you. We thank you for being our God and allowing us to be your servants. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Man, as you're praying, I'm thinking about my conversion. I had a relationship with the church, not God, until I was in my late teens.
Hmm.
And then I went to college, and that did not stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't understand things. And there was a day, this is another story, but there was a day that I'm like, I don't have a clue what this is about. And there's no way I'm giving myself to something that I can't understand. And I happen to be in a pretty humanistic college as well that told you you had all the answers.
Mm. That you could understand it all?
That you, yeah. But I'm like, I'm out. And I mean out, boom, bounce, gone immediately. And over the next several years, the Lord was so gracious and kind. And I came, my conversion place was, I cannot figure this out. I do not have to figure this out. I have to be close to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was my walk of faith. And that's when my relationship wasn't with the church anymore, but with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it became that. And maybe that's the crucible that everybody has to go through. Yeah. I don't know. But mine was profound. It was profound for me. And I realized, so when I don't figure things out, and I welcome tension in things, I just wanted to share that. It was on my mind. And also, I just want our listeners to know that there are three guys sitting around this table that are committed followers of Jesus. and we don't figure it out.
Nope.
We're not here because we've got the answers.
That is the truth.
That is definitely
true. And after a conversation like this, we remain committed to him because of who he is, right? You'll hear me say it until you put me in the ground. Peter said, where are we going to go, right? You have the words of eternal life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, again, thanks for being here today. Appreciate the discussion. And for our listeners, thank you for joining us. Yeah. Hope you're reading with us. So this would, again, be Matthew 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So those five chapters this week. And until next week, we wish you all the best. Take care.